Well, today I wanted to read again to you a bit of this passage that Joanna read earlier from the book of Colossians. And if anybody here ends up doing my funeral, please read this passage. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture from Colossians chapter 3. Because you are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now you can tell there's some troubles in the church he's writing to because of what comes next. Bear with one another. Forgive. Forgive whatever grievances you have with one another. Forgive in the same way that you have been forgiven. And above all else, put on love, he says, which binds the rest together and makes them perfect. And let Christ's peace reign in your hearts, since as members of one body, you have been called to live in that peace. And dedicate yourselves to thankfulness. I'm really thankful that we get to see Taro again this week. Thank you, Taro, for coming back and visiting us. Taro was our exchange student a couple years ago and has faithfully come back every single year to say hello in the wintertime. So it was a pleasure for me to walk in this morning and see Taro walk in the building, too, at the same time. So he's going to be spending a number of days with us. And I know many of you have brought to this place reasons that you yourselves are thankful as well. I was thinking, though, about what's going to happen this week, too, though, and I know that at my house, and maybe this is true at your house, family is going to gather around the Thanksgiving table, and at our house, there are going to be Christmas name draws going on, so that, you know, you pick the name out of the hat, and then you have to figure out what that person wants, and then get that for the Christmas season. Now, I don't know how many families do this anymore, but that's something that's been a tradition at our house for many, many years. And it kind of reminded me again that this season, you can't really get away from the materialism of Christmas, even at Thanksgiving dinner, can you? We've been hearing about on the news the pre-Black Friday sales now starting, so that at 8 o'clock, I guess, on Thanksgiving night, Macy's is opening up, and people are going to be rushing in there to start the consumptive extravaganza of the season. And one reporter calls this the death of Thanksgiving. I remember almost every Thanksgiving meal towards the end when we get these names, you know, I look at them, and then, you know, at our family, it's not much of a mystery as to what you get the people, because people tend to go around and they just say, what do you want? You know, and then the people say. And so you come up with strange things like, I want anything with the Black Keys logo on it. Well, you know, and then you're wondering, what are the Black Keys? I don't know. Now, some of you know what the Black Keys are. I'm hipsterish enough to know a little bit about the Black Keys, but... Or someone speaking for the family dog. Fido wants one of those dog outfits, you know, but get him a funny one, something like Abraham Lincoln or Che Guevara or something like that. You know, you wonder, I remember one year someone said for this sort of sportsman-y, outdoorsy type of person, they said he would really like a Christmas sweater that's a triple XL. It's got a little bit of camo in it, but not something to wear outside hunting or anything. It's something for like that you could to go to a party in. You know, where do you buy something like that? So I'm thinking to myself, you know, thank God for the interwebs, as my son Adam calls them, the internet, wherein we can find all sorts of things of this sort. So you leave, I leave Thanksgiving thinking, where can I buy that? That's my takeaway from the Thanksgiving meal. And it's a kind of a sad thing in a way. But even at Thanksgiving time, I guess my point is, it's a time when a lot of families do these things, and we get forced into the matrix of stuff. And I wonder if anybody pays very much attention anymore to the function of gratitude. I wonder if we pay attention to that much at Thanksgiving, in the nitty-gritty of the getting the meal together and everything else that happens. The Henry Luce Foundation who many of you know, and the Lilly Endowments worked together this year actually to send reporters out into the field. They wanted to produce a study to find out what people were actually thankful about. So they sent reporters out and they just asked people questions. So I'm going to ask you these same questions today. This is going to be one of those sermons where you have to maybe talk to your neighbor. Shh, it's not going to be hard. It'll just find a neighbor who you can talk to, and it's going to be like speed dating. Now, I know if some of you, I ask a question, you want to keep on talking and talking and talking and talking about it. This is not the point. I'm going to ask you a question. You got just a brief amount of time to share the answer to that question with the person you're going to share that with that's sitting next to you. Find a person who you think you might be able to share this with. Two or three people gather together. And then we're just going to go through these same questions. So here they are. You found somebody that you can ask the question to? Okay. Question number one. You just got a brief second to answer this question. What are you thankful for? Share that with your neighbor. What are you thankful for? Half the time is gone. What are you thankful for? Are you done? Okay. Question number two. How do you show your thanks for that? Quick. How do you show your thanks for that? How do you show your thanks? You about ready? Do you ever thank God or something like God for that? Okay, that's a little bit, yeah, a little bit of vulnerability here. Do you ever thank God or anything like God for that? Share that with your neighbor. Okay. Okay, and now, last one. If you could thank any particular person for something right now, what would it be and why? If you could thank any particular person for something right now, what would it be and why? A little bit of time there. So you're thanking a person for something. Are you about done? Okay. Circle the wagons. Here we go. We're all done. Are you done? So here's what the Lilly Endowment found, and I want to see if this is the same thing that happened here. When the Lilly Endowment did this, they interviewed about 1,000 people. What they noticed overwhelmingly is that people's answers to these questions very rarely referred to anything that was material. Was that true of you? Very rarely referred to any material thing. Unless someone said something like, they really helped me out financially by giving me something that was in a time of distress. The most common answers were children, partners, friends, good health, kindnesses, or acts of generosity, or shared knowledge. The things that we're truly thankful for, in other words, what the survey identified was people were truly thankful for things they cannot buy. People are truly thankful for things they cannot buy. And so if that's true, then isn't it true, really, that the things that are most precious to us are things we cannot buy? And isn't it also true, then, that if we're really like most other people in the world, it stands to reason that what we really want from others are things we cannot buy? When asked the question, where can I buy that? The things that you want that are most precious to you, the answer is usually, nowhere. I can't buy that. And that's something that I think it's easy to forget during the Christmas giving season in America. Lately, I've been rereading some of these books, and some of you all know these books, I'm sure. I read them about 10 years ago, but the Firefox series. Have you heard of these? The Firefox books? So the Firefox series is put together by Elliot Wigginton, who is a friend of Miles Horton. He went through the hills of Tennessee and was just interviewing people about the way they lived their lives and the things that they remembered to record that local wisdom that was being lost. And these interviews were done in 1973, but it's interesting, as I was reading this last week, I came across this one section where there's an interview with a man named Happy Dowdle. His name is Happy Dowdle because people thought he was happy all the time. So they started calling him Happy. So this is what he says. This is a conversation, and he's talking with his wife, Sarah. It was a hard living back then, but it was good. Sarah says, the corn shuckins. They had corn shuckins a lot. That was one mighty fine thing. They'd gather the corn, pile it up in a big pile, and 100 or 200 bushels worth would be there, and they'd gather everything that could be thought to eat, and you went and you ate all you wanted. Happy said, they'd help each other at that time, you see, back in them days, and Sarah. And they'd split rails. They'd help split rails for one another to build fences, and all the people would be in the house a-cooking dinner and quilting. We'd have the best times then. They'd visit each other and take their knitting, you know. They'd have to knit their stockings and socks. Lord, I learned to knit, and I wished I never had. My mother made me sit down every night. I knit till I couldn't hardly breathe. But you get to know a person that way. Happy says, they used to love one another. It ain't like it used to be at all. Sarah, they'd be eight at the field a time a-hoeing. Happy, now it's just so many different things that's come ahead of them. People are enjoying themselves or riding in that old car or airplane or something like that, you see. They'd rather be in that as to be associated with you or him or me. Sarah, now they don't have time to have conversation even on the streets of Franklin. And that's where I see most of my friends and my schoolmates. They never come to see you or nothing, you know, but they used to. They did, but anymore, most of them giving it up. Not unless you fix up a big dinner and invite them to come over. Happy. They loved one another better then. We used to get out at Christmas time and get a bunch of bells and 10 or 15 in the crowds, you know, and go from house to house serenading. Oh, we'd shoot guns and holler and ring them bells and everything else. We'd have a better time than they do now. The young folks don't have the fun places to go like we used to have. I wonder why it does that away, Sarah. Probably because there's lots more that's got money than, say, we youngins, and it's went to their heads, where they won't hardly speak to you no more. I'll tell you, honey, they didn't have no car to run out and get away from home. They had to live with the people they was with. Happy. I had an aunt that lived right across the river from us, from where I was raised up, and she'd come maybe once a week, every 2 weeks anyhow, and stay all day with Mother, you know, and they'd talk and crochet and sit around and crochet and talk about this and that and the other. Yeah, they'd knit and embroider, Sarah said. Happy. Yep. And they'd have a good time. But people don't do that no more. Thanksgiving is a great time to really take stock of what we are truly thankful for, I think, and to wonder, how caught up have I become in the constant movement and busyness of this rat race we call life? What are in reality those things that truly are precious to me? And if these things are really what are precious to me, am I investing my time and energy and resources to build into and to protect and to honor those things? Or are most of my time and energy and resources going somewhere else? Why is Thanksgiving so important? Well, for one, gratitude at least slows us down and reminds us of our best values and shows us how that we're all really together at heart in what we want and what we value and what we need. At all times, the Bible says, give thanks. Let's join together in singing as we prepare to celebrate communion together, a time when we remember the ties that bind us to one another. This hymn that's listed there in your bulletin, As We Gather at This Table, it's hymn number 332.